Drive to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right, like the dude just said. Hey, listen, we're moving into the 4 o'clock hour, and I'm going to stick with the topics of, you know, what happened last night. Part of the Triple Dipper, if you remember, I said that we're going to talk about sort of the fact that Virginia was a bellwether, but then again, there were lots of other things that happened that were like Virginia. Sometimes they were all the way down to the local level. Well, someone who is an expert who can help us dissect some of this is Chairman John Wall, who is the chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, doing an amazing job down there, very active, not just in running the party, but in even advocating for conservative policy issues. And Chairman Wall, we are glad to have you on the show. Welcome to Right Side Radio.
No, it's good to be back. I always enjoy coming on.
Well, thank you so much. And this will be, what, your second or third time, I believe, on the show. Is that right?
That sounds right, yes.
Yeah, well, good deal. Well, listen, last night was a good night to be a conservative and mostly just to be a Republican conservative. I mean, it was fun to watch the news last night.
Well, you know, it was. Not only was it a good night to be a Republican, I think it was a good night to be an American, because I think what this really showcases is that the American public, because it wasn't just Virginia. When you look at the results in New Jersey, in Ohio, or New Hampshire, when you look at the results around the different elections that took place, the people of America overwhelmingly said, we do not like the socialist policies of the Democrat Party. They got a taste.
No.
They don't like it, and they're fighting back.
Well, I agree, and we saw it at all levels. So the bellwether moment, the one that got all the attention, of course, was the Virginia gubernatorial race. The other piece of this, though, is there was a lieutenant governor, the entire state legislature in Virginia, and then up in New Jersey, the race is too close to call, and then Minneapolis, they rejected the defund the police movement, and then, you know, on and on and on. I mean, I've got one right now in Colorado I read out earlier where a group of local citizens got mad at their school board because they were so progressive, and they just banded together and went and got all the incumbents out, and we got a bunch of folks in there who've never run for office, but they're conservative.
You know, I love that, because there is no better representative for the people than an average person who thinks they weren't being represented properly. So I'm excited for them. I'm excited for Virginia. I'll tell you, even though, like you said, the governor's race is getting all the attention, but to take back the House, the legislature in Virginia is going to be a massive thing for the people across that Commonwealth. It's a great victory. It's going to shift policy in their state for years to come. And it really sets the tone for 2022 elections across the country.
Yeah, and you know, you were around in 2010 when Alabama flipped the legislature. At that point, we had all the statewide offices. We had the majority of the U.S. delegation, of course, minus Terry Sewell. And then we had the state legislature. It was Alabama's moment in 2010. This feels like 2010 for Virginia right now, is what it feels like to me.
No, very much so. And, you know, I love a state that is not expected, or I shouldn't say that. I love it when you have candidates who are jumping in the race. They don't necessarily think that they're for sure going to win. Like, they got to be true believers to be running on the Republican ticket in Virginia. Running because they really see a problem. They really want to make a difference. And that, the makeup of their government right now, today, after the elections tomorrow, is really exciting for the people of Virginia, for the conservative cause. And listening to Governor Yankins, by the way, great to be able to say governor before his name, listening to his acceptance speech last night was very refreshing.
Oh, it was. And, you know, what was also exciting to me, John, is, and I did a monologue on this today, and I did an entire segment thereafter where I talked about the fact that there was this righteous moment of seeing all the race baiting get refuted, because the demographic makeup of Virginia's victories last night, too. That's the first ever Hispanic attorney general. That's the first ever black or woman. You know, she's a black woman, the lieutenant governor, Winsome Sears. Yep. And then, of course, the Republican Youngkin winning the governor slot. I mean, basically everything about what they say Republicans don't stand for and that we're racist was refuted by the very demographic makeup of the victorious candidates in last night's election.
Absolutely. You know, this is a false narrative that the Republican Party doesn't represent minorities. It's the opposite. Republicans have always represented individual liberty and minority groups. their freedom and liberties. And the Democrats, it's time we challenge them on that and let them know that, you don't want people to know that there are conservative minorities. You hide them. You're embarrassed about them. You try to make people think they don't exist. Well, yesterday was a good referendum on that. Republican minorities do exist, and they're getting elected.
Yeah, they actually are. And then we're also seeing some surprise stuff. One of the things that's coming out of New Jersey right now, top story on Fox News right now, which is really almost like something out of a movie script. But there is a guy, he's a truck driver. He's never run for office, and he ran against the longtime Democrat Party leader, who is the longest serving member of the Democrat Party in the New Jersey legislature. He only spent $153 on his campaign total. And right now, they're down to having to recount the votes because he might take him out. That's just hilarious to me.
Is that not unbelievable? I'll tell you, it makes me wish we would have gotten involved up there.
If all we'd done is gone and knocked on a few doors for him, he might be already in office by now, or at least getting ready to swear in.
I know. But, I don't know if you're aware of this. We had door knocking crews we sent up to Virginia. We donated to his campaign, and then we had phone bankers, working here in state. So we were very invested in Virginia, and that's what I said. I was like, oh man, I didn't even think about New Jersey.
Well, but what's funny is Democrats didn't think about New Jersey either. Democrats thought it was a shoe-in
so badly that.
Go right ahead.
Oh yeah, no, I was just saying it's just hard for me to believe the Democrats have fumbled the ball so badly. We could have won Virginia or New Jersey.
Well, I agree, but it's comedy. But what I was saying too, when you and I were competing for airspace there, was that the funny thing is, Democrats didn't see it coming either. Democrats thought it was a shoe-in. They thought that they were just gonna. Mm-hmm. It was like New Jersey was gonna be handed to them on a silver platter, and it didn't happen. But hey, John, let me ask you this though. You mentioned something that I wanted to touch on, and that is the fact that the state parties are not, they're separate and distinct, but they're also joined at the hip. I mean, you guys cooperatively help each other, and we did have Alabama Republicans in Virginia doing the legwork to try and get this victory that we got. And talk about that for a little bit.
Absolutely. And it's, unfortunately, that doesn't happen as much as I would like in Republican primaries. In Republican supporting other Republicans in other elections. That's something that Alabama has been more supportive of with our strike force under the leadership of Joan Reynolds, who did an amazing job in the past and also with this door knocking team that went up to Virginia. But also, the party has started something called the Restore America campaign, where we're actually raising money and collecting volunteers in Alabama that are going to get involved with swing districts and swing states around the country. And I love the concept because I think it's all hands on deck to save the country. We're in a battle for the heart and the soul of our nation, and I think we need to really help organize here in a red state so we can help in the swing states.
Well, and I agree. I mean, if conservative policies are going to be the way of the future that we want it to be, it has to be at the state level. And we can't always look to the presidential politics. I mean, because you and I both see right now that even what's happening in our state house as you and I are speaking is important. And so let me ask you this, John. Can you hang on during a short break? I'd like to come back and talk about that and just get your perspective on the fact that the state legislature is in right now and they're dealing with vaccine mandates. Is that okay with you?
Absolutely. I'd love to stay on.
All right, great. We're on with Chairman John Wall from the Alabama Republican Party, giving us his perspective on some of the bellwether issues that occurred in the elections last night. When we come back, we'll talk to him a little bit more about what's happening down in Montgomery right now and the way forward on vaccine mandates pushbacks at the state level. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN Phil Williams Right Side Radio solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, listen, we're going to go right back to the phones with Chairman John Wall from the Alabama Republican Party. Chairman Wall, thanks for hanging on. And listen, the Alabama Legislature is in special session right now. The governor did not place something in the call to special session related to vaccine mandates, but they have chosen to take it upon themselves to take action. And I know that you also, by the way, have been advocating quietly in the background, maybe not so quietly in the background, but advocating for them to do something. And I appreciate that. But talk to us a little bit about that process, if you will.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and first off, you know, I always, from the very beginning, I supported every branch of government to get involved. You know, I applaud the governor on the executive order. I applaud Steve Marshall's efforts. And I really felt like to round that around, we needed legislative action. You know, it's important. I think it's very important that we have state law that protects the citizens of Alabama and protects their rights and freedoms. So I'm very supportive of legislation. I'm very closely watching, you know, the bills move through the process. We have two bills that were, you know, voted on the House committees today, and hopefully they will make it to a floor vote tomorrow.
Yeah, and that's where we are. I had Senator Elliott on a little while ago, and he described the processes, and it's kind of funny because, you know, with my background in the state Senate, I actually was supposed to have Chris Elliott on yesterday, and he wasn't able to call in, and so I flipped on the live feed from the Senate floor, and oh, there he was at the podium, so he had a pretty darn good excuse, but I was able to give a blow-by-blow to the audience of what he was doing, and the fact that he was debating the very bill that we were going to talk about together on the air. But yeah, they, by the way, they did just amend, I don't know if you saw this or not, have you seen the fact that the House Health Committee give a favorable report to both bills? They're both out of committee in the House now, possible action on the floor tomorrow. But they did substitute Senate Bill 9, Elliott's bill, with a different version. Have you seen that yet?
Correct, yes. No, I have seen that. And there's two main changes from what passed the Senate. One being switching right. from the Montgomery, I don't want to say bureaucrats, but basically the Montgomery Labor Department in Montgomery deciding the kind of the process move forward after employers or employees want to appeal, and that being moved from the Labor Department more over to the Attorney General's office, which there are pros and cons to. I actually think this could be a good move in that area. On the other edit really seems to be on fleshing out the form and actually listing reasons for health exemptions.
Right.
That's a slippery slope. I can't say that I'm supportive of that move, but it still overall is a bill that will protect a lot of people and allow them to hopefully have an ability to get a health and religious exemption for this vaccine.
Yeah, I was not wild about that. One thing I did notice, though, that I thought was interesting, it specifically allows you to check a box saying that you should not you should be allowed an exemption because you've already had COVID. And I thought that was interesting because that was not specified in the Senate version as it came down to the House, that natural antibodies were not given any grounds, basically. So there's one plus, I guess, is that natural antibodies are given some credit here in this particular exemption form that they've developed. But, Chairman, I guess it's going to be interesting to see how it goes tomorrow.
And that,
go ahead.
Yeah, and that could have been inferred in the Senate version as well, because the last Senate version didn't really specifically name all of the health reasons. So that could have been inferred as a health reason why you would not want to get the vaccine.
No, I would tend to agree. Well, listen, just to wrap things up with you here in a couple of minutes, so you're the chairman of the state Republican Party. Are we ever going to see a Democrat running for statewide office in the next year? Because I'm not seeing it right now.
Oh, if they run, we'll beat them.
I would suspicion that to be true. So next question though is qualifying. Have y'all determined when qualifying will take place for races around the state?
No, we have. So qualifying is open between January 4th and January 28th for state qualified candidates, which would be all your constitutional offices, your statewide judgeships, and then state house, state senate, and some of your district and circuit judges, as well as DAs. And then most of the counties are keeping the same qualifying dates. Some may do things a little bit different, but overall, I think the vast majority of offices will qualify in January.
Well, and I think that's true. And then and now with the special session almost over, people will know exactly what their House and Senate districts look like, and that'll probably also bring out a few more candidates, I would imagine. So we'll wait and see how that pans out. But Mr. Chairman.
Oh, absolutely. We're expecting a very robust primary season. You know, there's going to be a lot of interest both statewide for statewide offices as well as district and House races. So we're excited to see the candidates we put forth. And then in the general, the party be fully engaged both in state and nationally with trying to take back our country from the liberal socialist Democrats.
Absolutely. Mr. Chairman, thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate you being on the show, and we will definitely be having you back again sometime in the near future. So you have a great day.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure, and always enjoy speaking to your viewers.
Well, thank you, sir. All right, folks, that was Chairman John Wall from the Alabama Republican Party giving us both a national and a localized perspective. Party politics is interesting. And I will say, you know, I've been involved in the state Republican Party for a long time, ran, I mean, no bones about it, ran as a Republican candidate and a Republican state senator. I was chairman of the Republican Party in my county and a member of the state executive committee. And so it's certainly been in my blood and in my resume. This is an interesting time that we're in right now. You know, there are times when I recognize, and I have to say it out loud, that being a Republican does not make you a conservative, and being a conservative does not mean you're necessarily going to wind up winning the race. You've got to work it. You got to earn it. But I'm just telling you right now, folks, I'm seeing a movement right now, a movement that says that people are paying attention and they recognize when someone is, you know, not abiding by what they said they would run on. And so as we move forward towards qualifying, I'm going to be curious to see how many people draw a primary race that didn't think they were. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. I'm going to open the phones up when we come back, 866-494-9866. Call in if you want to. Tell me what you think about the world around you and what you think about the things we've been talking about today. We'll be right back.